Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Yuma Daf Gimel. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur four lines from the top of Daf Gimel. Let us note that we are in the middle of a discussion that we started at the end of our previous shiur. You'll notice a house shape, the house marking, one of our series markings, and we started this series of questions back on Daf Beis Amud Beis, and we had our introductory note on the side where we pointed out that we're working with the pasuk from Miluim, in which it had used the word lichaper, and we understood, just like Miluim required a separation period, which we called Prisha, of 7 days before the actual service began on Aleph Nisan, so too, in anticipation of the Yom Kippur service, the Kohen Gadol is separated. The Gemara then started a series of questions. Who says that lichaper is a reference to Prisha, separation necessary for Yom Kippur? Maybe it is for something else. And we had a series of house markings and double underlines where you can see, if you follow the double underline, what those alternative suggestions were, and at each time each one was rejected. We continue now for the fourth line from the top with another suggestion. The Amo Atzeres, maybe the Prisha referred to under the word Lechaper on the Miluim is a reference to Prisha necessary for service on Shavuos. Now, in the previous suggestion we had discussed separation Prisha for a regel from one of the regolim, Pesach or Sukkis, but we rejected that on the grounds that we need a separation of 7 days for 1 day. Then Shmini Atzeres came up as a suggestion, which would have been a separation of 7 days for 1 day, like is the case in the Miluim, but we found that Shmini Atzeres also was not acceptable. When we come to Atzeres, well, here you have Shavuos, which is a one-day holiday, as mandated by the Torah, and you would have 7 days of separation in anticipation of Shavuos. So the Kohanim that served in the Beis HaMikdash on the holiday of Shavuos would be separated, and as the Gemara says, the Prishas Shiva Liyom Echad Hu. It is a separation of 7 days in anticipation of the 1 day of Shavuos, which is like the case of Miluim, a separation of 7 days for the actual first day of service in the Mishkan on Aleph Nisan. So why do we insist on the limud, that which we derive from Miluim as a reference to Yom Kippur, not for Shavuos? Amar Rabbi Abba, Donin Par Par echad vayel echad, mi par echad vayel echad. Both Yom Kippur and Miluim have these sacrifices in common. A singular cow and a singular ram is brought on both of those occasions, so they are more comparable. You can compare Yom Kippur to Miluim, lafuke atzeres, to the exclusion of Shavuos, which is characterized the shnei elim ninu. On Shavuos, there are two rams that are brought as the korban. So you see that Shavuos is therefore unlike Miluim. The Gemara continues, ha nicha, you can say things are fine that we don't have prisha for atzeres, l'man domar Yom Kippurim ayel echad hu. That Yom Kippur, in fact, was a singular ram offering. Elo lamanda omar shnei elim ninhu ma'iko lamemar. But according to, we will see later, Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, who says that on Yom Kippur, two elim were brought, so then Yom Kippur is unlike Miluim, just as bad as Shavuos is, so to speak. In other words, why are you choosing to compare Yom Kippur to Miluim and not Shavuos, when neither Shavuos nor Atzeres are similar to Miluim? Because on Miluim there was clearly one ram that was brought. So the Gemara, now you see there's a bracketed section the brackets we use for initial skipping, all they do is they give you the background, and if you skip the brackets, you get to the answer immediately, where the Gemara says, Afilu Temo Reb Elozer Reb Shimon, you can say that that which we say, there is no precious for Shavuos, works out like Reb Elozer Reb Shimon as well, and the Gemara will elaborate when we get to that point. So let's go back now with the question in mind. According to the Manda Omar, which happens to be Reb Elozer Reb Shimon, that Yom Kippur also had two Elim, so then is it not so that Yom Kippur is equally unlike Miluim? The Sanya, we're reading the bracketed section. It says, with regard to Yom Kippur, Revi Omer, Ayol Echod Hu Ha'omur Kan Hu Ha'omur Bechumash Hapikudim. The ram offering that's referenced in Achrimos in Vayikra, which is the section of the Torah dealing with Yom Kippur, is the same ram that the Torah makes mention of in Sefer Bamidbar, in Parshas Pinchas, where the Torah describes the Musaf offerings, the additional offerings that are offered on the various holidays. So it's simply the Torah repeats itself. It mentions the ram in Achrimos, and it also mentions that same ram in Parshas Pinchas. So when we speak about Yom Kippur having a singular ram offering, that conforms to Rebbe's approach. However, Reb Elozer Reb Shimon Omer, Shnei Elim Haim. They are two separate references, two separate animals. Echad Ha'omur Kan, Ve'echad Omur B'chumash HaPikudim. One that's referred to Kan means here in Parshas Achrimos, which deals with Yom Kippur, and the other one mentioned in Chumash HaPikudim is a reference to Sefer Bamidbar, known as Chumash HaPikudim. The Gemara now answers, Afilu Tema Reb Elozer Reb Shimon. You can say that Shavuos is excluded and Yom Kippur remains comparable to Atzeres, comparable to Miluim, even though Reb Elozer Shimon says that on Yom Kippur there are two rams. Nevertheless, that shouldn't bother us. Hosam, in the case of Yom Kippur, Chad L'Choyvas Hayoyim V'Chad L'Musafim. There are two rams, but only one of them is what's called Choyvas Hayom. Choyvas Hayom means it's something special, a ram offering that's special to that day, to Yom Kippur. It doesn't come under the general heading of Musafim. Musafim is a more generic term referring to additional korbanos that you find on every holiday. So one is Chovas Hayom, and that is similar to the Miluim. The Miluim ram was obviously Chovas Hayom. There is no alternative. It's the first of Nisan, and it had a special ram offering for that occasion. And on Yom Kippur, true, there's a second ram, but that's the Chad L'Musafim. That second ram is for Musaf, for the additional korbanos which are brought on every holiday. Lafuke Atzeres, in contrast with the exclusion of Shavuos, the Travayu, both rams of Shavuos are Chovas Hayom Ninhu. Those are two animals that are Chovas Hayom, making it Shavuos unlike Miluim. Regarding the Miluim, there's one ram that's Chovas Hayom, and on Shavuos there are two rams that are Chovas Hayom. And Rashi explains a little more. Lafuki atzeres the travayu chovas hayom ninu lechovas shtei alechem. The two rams are brought because on Shavuos there's a special two loaf offering. It's called the shtei alechem dichtiv v'grafdem al alechem v'elim shnayim ubechovas hayom demiluim ayel echad hu dehave, as opposed to the chovas hayom of miluim, which required only one ram. So just to review, Yom Kippur has one ram as Chovas Hayom, and Miluim has one ram that's Chovas Hayom, the obligation of that day. Shavuos has two rams that are categorized as Chovas Hayom. We continue. V'Eimor Rosh Hashanah, why not say that L'chaper of Miluim, in which we saw there's Prisha, L'chaper teaches me regarding Prisha for Rosh Hashanah. De Prisha Shiva L'Yom Echad Hu. Rosh Hashanah is essentially, from the Torah standpoint, a one-day holiday. And you would have the Kohanim that are going to serve on Rosh Hashanah separated from their wives for 7 days before Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara answers, and you'll notice we have triangles that appear, and on the side under the Mivneh heading, these represent Shalosh Tirutzim Loma Luma Dafki Yom Kippur Miluim V'lo Hatzos Acheros. Why are we sticking with Yom Kippur and not accepting these other suggestions? Omar Rabbi Avo, Donin Par V'ayil Sheloi Mipar V'ayil Sheloi. Shalom means from his own pocket. The Kohen pays for these from his own pocket, from personal funds, as opposed to using public funds. So we learn the case of Par V'ayil, where the Kohen brings a cow and ram offering that he pays for out of pocket, which is the case on Yom Kippur, from Miluim, where also it's out of pocket. And Rashi gives the sources. How do you know that? So Rashi quotes the Psukim for that. La'afuke Atzeres, to the exclusion of Atzeres of Shavuos, the Rosh Hashanah, the Tzibor Ninu. True, you have a par and aisle on Atzeres and on Shavuos and on Rosh Hashanah. However, those are from public funds. Now, we should point out that we're starting a question, and the question is a long question. The length of the question is a result of a lot of background information provided as well, but the exclusion right now of Rosh Hashanah and Atzeres is based on the acceptance that the expression kach lecha, which appears by miluim, indicates mishelcha. So on Miluim, the Torah specifically says you purchase these korbanos with out-of-pocket funds, not public funds. But that's assuming that the kachlucha expression or command, kachlo means take up for yourself, that means out-of-pocket. However, if kachlucha means public funds, so then by Miluim itself, you don't find private money, personal money used for that. So then we would reinstate the question of maybe the prisha of miluim extends to Rosh Hashanah. So we continue in the Gemara with our question. Bottom line of Gimel Amud Aleph, Hanicha, that we exclude. Hanicha means things work out well, i.e. the exclusion of Rosh Hashanah and Atzeres from the dinim of prisha. We're at the top of Omid Beis. Vase lecha, that's another expression that you find in the context of special trumpets or horns that were made by Moshe Rabbeinu for making public announcements. That vase lecha mishelcha means they are from Moshe Rabbeinu's personal funds in making those trumpets. Elo lamandom or mishel tzibor, but if you say that these psukim of kach lecha and vase lecha are, or the other psukim, we should just say, where you see a reference to something personal, but it doesn't mean personal, but rather it is a reference to something public, so then even by the miluim itself, it would appear that it's from public funds, making miluim similar to Rosh Hashanah and Atzeres. Let's read that line again at the top of Omid Beis. Elo l'man de'omar mishel tzibor ma'i kol ha'meimar. But if you say that kach lecha is a reference, is a term that could refer to public funds, so then what are you going to say? Why exclude Rosh Hashanah and Atzeres? Notice we have a long bracketed section which takes in a Tanaic source. In this bracketed section, you'll actually see a double, an internal brackets, and we have a note on the side. So, Graham Kfulim, we have double brackets. Habraisa muvo kedei losis reka lishnei hamando omrim shemuskram begemara. The Tanaic source will serve as the source, the background for the two opinions we just saw regarding kach lecha. B'soch habraisa yesh droshen oisefes. Within the braisa, we have angular brackets. that represents an additional drusha, shel Rav Chanan shepochois koshu l'malach ha-sugyah shelanu, which is less connected to our particular sugya. So it's bracketed off to show how it's less related. But in the meantime, if we skip the bracketed section, you get right to the answer. But the answer itself happens to be rather long, and you can see we've marked it as a long answer. Essence of the answer is that even though there may be an argument regarding kach l'cha in general, but not so in the case of miluim and in the case of Yom Kippur. In these two cases, it's very clear that it's a reference to personal funds, and thereby to the exclusion of Rosh Hashanah and Atzeres, which are reference to korbanos that are bought from public funds. So now the Gemara. The Sanya. The source gives us the two opinions that we just referenced regarding kach l'cha. So the Brisa says kach l'cha means mishelcha. The ase l'cha means mishelcha, from your own funds. The ikhwe lecha, where you see the Torah use the expression the ikhwe lecha, mishel tzibur, divrei Rabbi Yoshia. Rabbi Yoinu Sonomer, bein kach l'cha, bein the ikhwe lecha, mishel tzibur. Now, you see we dot underlined kach l'cha, because that's really the focus point of the machlokis. Rabbi Yoshia says kach l'cha means personal, and Rabbi Yoinu says kach l'cha, as well as ikhwe lecha, means Michel Tzibur. There's no argument, by the way, regarding Vikoy Lecha, that from public funds. Uma Talmud Lomar Kach Lecha. Well, if it's public funds, so then why the personal expression? Lecha means your own, unto yourself. It's a personalized expression. So if you're saying Kach Lecha means purchase from public funds, what is the point of Lecha? So the Gemara answers, it's a reference to a different drosha. Kiviyachol, it's as if to say, Mishelcha ani roitze yoyse mishelhem, that I prefer your offering more than their offering. All right, that's a separate discussion, why the emphasis is placed on his offering over the rest of the peoples, the others. But for our purposes, it has that connotation. And now you see the internal brackets. This is already, you'll see, is related more to this last point than our general sugya. Abuchonon Omar Mishum Rebelozer, Kosovechot Omer. One pasuk says regarding the construction of the Aron HaKodesh, the Holy Ark containing the Ten Commandments, it says, V'asisaloch Aron Aitz, you shall make for yourself a wooden box or chest. Kosovechot Omer, V'osu Oroin Atse Shitim, in the public sense. One is on the private and one is public. Okay, so how do you make sense of these two psukim? Kan bizman shisrael oisin ritzoyne shomokoim. Kan bizman shein oisin ritzoyne shomokoim. The psukim reflect the status of Klal Yisrael when they are performing, following the teachings of the Almighty, keeping his mitzvahs, so it's considered their oron. That would be the public sense. And if they're not, so then it's not considered their oron. It's not associated with the public, because they're not keeping the words of the Torah that are contained within that very oron. Ad Khan, the Gemara now answers, we brought up the problem of kach l'cha, if it means public funds, so the expression kach l'cha appears by miluim, and if you follow the approach of Rabbi Yonason, that kach l'cha means public funds, so then maybe prisha is in order with regard to Rosh Hashanah, which is also a day that the sacrifices are brought from public funds. The Gemara says, don't make that claim here. Ad kan lo pligi Elo b'kichos the alma vasios the alma. Up till now, namely within this Tanaic source, Rabbi Yosha and Rabbi Yonason are arguing in general with regard to purchases and performances in general. Kichos the alma, kach l'chos samim, in the context of the acquisition of the incense for the Beis Hamikdash. The Asiyus Damo, that's a reference to Asay Lucho Shtei Chatzoisers Kesef. That's the making of the trumpets. Interesting, in the source itself, when Rabbi Yonason said whether it's Kachel or Yikhoi Lecho, that's Mishel Tzibur, there didn't seem to be an argument surrounding Asay Lucho. But here, in the Gemara, it's mentioning that Asay Lucho is part of the Machlokes. Avol Hanoch, we continue in the Gemara, Avol Hanoch, with regard to the Miluim and Yom Kippur, there one is not to include the expressions of Kach Lecha or the references to something personal as a public reference. Avol Hanoch, Miluim and Yom Kippur, Perushi, Komeforesh, the Mishel Chohu. There it's explicit that it comes from his own pocket. B'Miluim, with regard to the Miluim, Michti, Ksiv, let's look into it, and it says, Ve'el B'nei Yisrael Tadaber Lemor, Khu Sir Izin Lechatos. That's, in that you find in Vayikra Perek Tes Posig Gimel, and in Posig Beis it said, Vayomer El Aaron, Kach Lecho Egel Ben Bokor Lechatos. Lomo Li. Why the change? In other words, in Posig Gimel, you see the public is addressed Ku Sir Izim. Ku is a plural expression. We dot underline that for emphasis purposes, the Ku. And yet when it comes to in you see in Pasuk Beis, it doesn't use the plural expression, it says Kach Lecha. So the change in grammar shows me Shma Mino Kach Lecha Mishel Chahu. There it's specifically take from your own funds for the purchase of those korbanos, and that's by the Miluim. And you can see we've highlighted Miluim and Yom Kippur with diamonds to accentuate the comparison. Now, Bayom Hakipurim Mechti Ksiv, it says Bezois Yovel Aaron El Hakodesh Befar Ben Bokor Lechatos Umeis Adas Bnei Yisrael Yikach Shnei Siirim Lechatos. The Psukim are describing the different korbanos that are brought. In Pasuk Gimel, reference is made to Aharon, who was the Kohen Gadol, entering the Kodesh with a par ben bokor, and is with the blood of the cow, and from Klal Yisrael, Adas Bnei Yisrael, from the community, from the people, he would bring. There were two seirim, two goats. And in Pasuk Vav it says, Vehikriv espar hachatos asher loi. And it emphasizes the par hachatos as being his, a personal expression. Lomali, what do I need that word asher lo for? In fact, in Pasuk Gimel, it already mentioned that Aaron comes into the Kodesh with a par ben bokor. So what do we gain by having the asher lo added, when I already know that Aaron brings that korban? So the purpose of that lo is shma mino. It shows me high lo mishalohu. It's to emphasize. It's there specifically to show that it's to be paid for out of his own pocket. At this point, then we've pointed out why Yom Kippur is derived from Miluim and not Rosh Hashanah. That was all based on Rabbi Avol's approach, and that being that the Parva Ayol of Miluim and of Rosh and of Yom Kippur were from personal funds, as opposed to Rosh Hashanah, which were from public funds. And with regard to the Yom Kippur and Miluim, there is no question that they were from private funds. We continue in the Gemara with a second of this series of triangles indicating why Yom Kippur is to be learned from Miluim regarding Prisha and not something else. Rav Ashi Yomar, Donin, Par Lechatos Ve'al Oilo. That means I will learn Yom Kippur, which has a cow brought as a sin offering, and the ram brought as an ola offering, mipar lechatos v'ala ola, from Miluim, where it is the same. La fuke Rosh Hashanah Vatzeres, to the exclusion of these holidays of Rosh Hashanah and Atzeres Shavuos were true. There was a pyre and ayol. However, the travayu oilois ninu. They were both ola type sacrifices. Notice the difference then. Rosh Hashanah and Shavuos, the pyre and ayol, are not like the pyre and ayol of the miluim. Ravina Omar, a third approaching. You'll have to note, though, that under Ravina, there are two lishonos, and you can see we have an aleph, and a few lines later appears a beis, and you notice a squiggle underlined eko of the Amri, it means a different version. We often squiggle underline transition expressions, and eko of the Amri is one of those. It means a different version. So Ravina Omar, donin avoida b'koyin gadol, me avoida b'koyin gadol. I will derive Yom Kippur, whose service is performed by the Kohen Gadol, from the case of the Miluim, the consecration of the Mishkan, where on that day, on the first of Nisan, when the Mishkan was set up, the Avoda was done, the service in the Mishkan was done by the Kohen Gadol. La'afuke kulu kushayson. With this we exclude all of the aforementioned suggestions, which by way of through the magic of markings, we can say all of the house markings that we've had up till now with the following double underlines, all of those suggestions which take you back till Beis Amid Beis, mind you, that's the kulhu, to the exclusion of all of them, all of the kushyais and all of the suggestions, the questions, the suggested alternatives to Lav Avoda B'Kohen Gadol, and none of those were days in which we insisted on the Avoda to be done by the Kohen Gadol. V'Iko D'Amri, Omar Avina. Why do we choose Yom Kippur as that which is to be derived from Miluim regarding Prisha? Donin Avoda T'chila, Me Avoda T'chila. Now that's a vague expression for right now, but both Miluim and Yom Kippur have this characteristic in common, namely Avoda Tchila, La Fuke Hani, to the exclusion of all these other suggestions, all the other house markings, the Lav Avoda, the Lav Tchila Ninu. They are not Tchila. My Tchila. What do you mean by Tchila? So the Gemara goes through two stages of analysis, highlighted by our double underline. I Lemo Tchila B'Kohen Gadol, if Tchila means is a reference to the Kohen Gadol being the one who is performing the service. So Hainu Komaisa, that's what we said already in the Ravina Aleph. So how would this be an Iko D'Amri? This wouldn't be a second version. Elo Avoda Tchila B'Mokoyim. It's a reference to first time in a specific place that Avoda was done. Miluim and Yom Kippur have that element in common. Now, we're going to go over these last two lines with the Rashi. We're looking at Rashi less than halfway down the page. I leima tchila b'koyin gadol. Donin Yom HaKippurim. And if you skip the brackets we have in our Rashi, was done in Yom Kippurim, me avodas shmini lemiluim. If you say that we're going to learn the Yom Kippur from the eighth day of the miluim, which was the first of Nisan, she avoda rishona. Let's now go over the Rashi again to read it with the brackets. We did that skipping just to give you a sense of the flow, to maintain the easy flow without the interruption. Let's read again. I leimo tchila b'koyin gadol donin Yom HaKippurim shehi avoda rishona shehutla b'koyin gadol b'korbanos sibur b'Yom HaKippurim rishon. Historically, the very first Yom Kippur, that was the first time a Kohen Gadol was charged with public sacrifices. So there's an element of the first time a Kohen Gadol does something, public sacrifices. I would learn that me avodas shmini lemiluim she avoda rishona shenasis al yedei kohen gadol meolam. That was the first time a kohen gadol did anything. So the Gemara said, well, if that's the intention, well, that was really alluded to already in the Ravina Aleph version of things. So the Gemara then answered what Ravina Beis, the Ikar D'Amri, Avodah Tchila, means is a function of Tchila B'Mokim. Rashi says, Yom Kippurim, Yesh Bo Avodah Lifnei Lifnim. Yom Kippurim, there's a service that's done in the inner sanctum, that's in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. It's Lifnei Lifnim, means the inner of the inner. It's because the Heichal was a building, it was an enclosed structure, and inside of that there was an inner chamber known as the Kodesh HaKadoshim, where the Oron was positioned. Shebi Yom Kippurim HaRishon Hoyso Tchila B'Mokim. That first Yom Kippur, historically, the first Yom Kippur, that was the first time Avodah was done in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Shekodem Lechein Lo Nichnas Adam Sham L'Avodah. Prior to that, no one had entered the Kodesh HaKadoshim for Avodah purposes. V'yom Shmini L'Miluim, the eighth day of the Miluim, Hoysa Avodah Tchila B'Mizbeach HaChitzas, the first time the external altar was put into service for the offering of sacrifices. Rashi goes on to say, well, you might raise a question that it really was used even before by Moshe Rabbeinu, but that is a non-question, as Rashi proves. So Avodah Tchila is a reference to Miluim and Yom Kippur have in common that it was the first time Avodah was done in their respective places. Yom Kippur, Kodesh HaKadoshim, Miluim, the Mizbeach HaChitzah. We continue in the Gemara. Ki osa Rav Dimi. When Rav Dimi came, Omar, he said the following. And we have a little Aleph and Beis breaking down what Rav Dimi says. Rav Yochanan Masni Chado, Rav Yeshua ben Levi Masni Tarti. Some versions have, instead of Rav Yeshua ben Levi, they have the name Reish Lakish. So Rav Dimi reports that Rabbi Yochanan teaches one prisha, one additional prisha, because the Torah already teaches prisha for miluim. The question is, how many other prishas are there? So Rabbi Yochanan has one additional prisha, and Rabbi Shimon Levi has two. And the Gemara now explains. And here we have a house marking. And on the side, under our Nosei Mivneh, you can see the house highlights Machloikis. How many additional prishas are we to derive from the posuk of miluim, in which the Torah says there shall be prisha, separation from one's house, from one's wife, before a particular event? So we continue in the Gemara. Rabbi Yochanan, the house marking. Rabbi Yochanan Masni Chado. He says in the posuk that we learned back on Daf Beis, La'asos l'chaper, which was a posuk by Miluim, the words are darshaned as one unit. La'asos l'chaper, elu ma'ase Yom Kippurim. There's a reference made in the parsha of Miluim to a prisha necessary for Yom Kippur. And again, the words la'asos l'chaper is a reference to Yom Kippur. And of course, we're following on the heels of having learned Daf Beis. Rabbi Yochanan then makes no reference to Prisha for Pora, for the Kohen who is going to prepare the Pora Aduma. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Masni Tarti, he has two Prishas, and this is actually more familiar to us, because this is what we've learned in the past, La'asos Eila Maisa Pora, L'chaper Eila Maisa Yom Kippurim, that these two scriptural words, La'asos is a reference to the preparation of the Pora, the Kohen who's going to prepare the Pora Aduma has to separate himself for a week's time prior to that. And L'chaper, that is a reference to Yom Kippur. The Gemara now asks, focusing on Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan Masni Chado, Rabbi Yochanan says there's Prisha only for Yom Kippur, V'hanan T'nan, but do we not have a Tanaic source? Rabbi Yochanan was an Amora, so is there not a Tanaic source that says Shivas Yomim Kodim Yom HaKippurim V'Shivas Yomim Kodim Sreifas HaPora? And we dash line Pora. The question is coming from the fact that this Tanaic source makes reference to a Prisha in anticipation of the burning of the Pora, of the burning of the red heifer. Contrary to what Rabbi Yochanan says, that there's no prisha for that, only for Yom Kippur in addition to Miluim. The Gemara answers, as far as Rabbi Yochanan is concerned, Mala Bi'almo. It's a stringency. a mere stringency as opposed to something that's derived from the posuk itself. Namely, for the poraduma, as an exercise of strictness to counterbalance the leniencies that we learned about on Daf Beis, that the kohen who was going to prepare the parah, they took a proactive position in defiling the kohen who was going to do the parah, which would have represented a demonstration of leniency. So to offset that, we insist on prisha prior to the preparation of the parah. We're not going over everything we learned already on Daf Beis. We're speaking somewhat in abbreviated terms, but we're making the assumption that we're familiar with Daf Beis. So regarding the parah, it's not something, the prisha is not something derived from the posuk, Rabbi Yochanan will tell you, but rather it's a we'll call it a rabbinic stringency that's self-imposed. Self-imposed meaning the rabbis imposed it as opposed to a commandment from on high, from the Torah. Gemara asks, "V'ha Amar of Minyumi, Bar Chilki Amar of Machasya Bar Idi, Amar of Yochanan." Notice dashed underline Rabbi Yochanan. We're focusing once again on him. He says, "Kasher also b'mazet tzivo Hashem lasois lechaper aleichem." That's the pasuk that we saw by the Miluim, and from this pasuk we say lasois elu ma'isepora lechaper elu ma'isyom kippurim. Well, Rabbi Yochanan himself is quoted as saying, from the pasuk, lasos is a word from the pasuk as a reference to the Maisa Pora. How can then we answer for Rabbi Yochanan a moment ago and say that Srefa, the prisha for Srefa's Pora is a ma'ala bi'amo, is a mere rabbinic stringency, when here Rabbi Yochanan is saying that it is derived from a pasuk? The Gemara answers, Hahu derabei, that which Rabbi Yochanan is quoting the pasuk for the basis of prisha for para, that's not Rabbi Yochanan's own opinion. That's Rabbi Yochanan reflecting his teacher's opinion. The Chiyosa Ravin Omar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Yishmael. Now we squiggle on the line Mishum Rabbi Yishmael. That is the rabbi, so to speak, the earlier source that Rabbi Yochanan was quoting when he made reference to the double drasha from the pasuk. But that's not Rabbi Yochanan's own opinion. That's Rabbi Yochanan citing what Rabbi Shmuel holds. Lasos elu ma'isa pora lechaper elu ma'isa yom kippurim. Omar le reish lokish l'Rabbi Yochanan. Meheicha ko yalfis la. Reish Lakish asks Rabbi Yochanan, from where do you derive prisha for Yom Kippur? So he answers, mi miluim. Basically, we just saw that. We saw Rabbi Yochanan in the house marking a few lines up, darshaning lasos lechaper, which was a posuk from miluim, indicating prisha for Yom Kippur. Now, before we go on in the Gemara, we just encountered a new marking on the side. We have a Nosei Mivneh heading, which we also have an indication that this goes till Daf Dalet Omid Beis. It's a very long discussion that we're about to start. You can see we have a bow tie shape featured, and that highlights the Machlokas Reish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan Mehechon Nilmad Prisha Shel Yom Kippur. From where do we learn? What's the source that the Kohen Gadol, who is going to perform the Yom Kippur service, is separated from his house for a week, for a week's time prior to that? Rabbi Yochanan Mimiluim Reish Lakish, and this is new information, and the second bow tie will be highlighting this. Reish Lakish Prishas Moshe Rabbeinu Lifnei Kabbalas Shar HaTorah B'Sinai. The prisha for Yom Kippur is then going to be learned from the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu, prior to his receipt of the rest of the Torah, when we say rest of the Torah, it means besides the Ten Commandments, there was a prisha experienced by Moshe Rabbeinu. And the Gemara will prove that. We're going to employ a squiggle underline throughout the sukkah that is going to highlight the different speakers. That's a simun kidei lahokel la'akiv achar masu matan bein Rabbi Yochanan v'Reish Lakish. So we now turn back to the point in where we left off with, and Reish Lakish, after Rabbi Yochanan answered that I learned Prishaf Yom Kippur from Miluim, Reish Lakish says, I have a question for you. And the question lasts a couple of lines, as you can see marked. Ima Miluim kol ha-kosuv bohen me'akev bohen, ha-parchanami kol ha-kosuv bohen me'akev bohen. If you're going to learn from Miluim, are you going to say that just like by the Miluim, everything that's written in the Torah concerning Miluim is binding? Ma'akev, it's binding, that you're not going to fulfill your requirements if you don't do what is said in the Torah regarding Miluim. So are you going to say the same thing regarding Yom Kippur, that whatever is said in the Torah is binding? V'chitema achinami, and if you're going to say, yeah, that's right, that whatever it says by Yom Kippur is binding, just like by Miluim, v'hotnan, but do we not have the following? It said in our Mishnah, umaskinin loy kayin acher. Regarding the Kohen Gadol, the Mishnah says we set aside, we designate a replacement Kohen, for if anything should happen to our Kohen Gadol, there's a man in waiting in the wings for serving as a replacement. So what does the Mishnah say regarding this replacement Kohen Gadol? It says we designate him. V'lo katoni mafrishin. There's no reference to his being separated from his wife. So then what comes out? Let us say the official Kohen Gadol becomes unfit at some point during Yom Kippur. We're then going to summon this replacement Kohen Gadol who did not experience Prisha. The Chitema, you might want to say, well, he did. My maskinin mafrishin. You might say the word maskinin that we use in the context of the replacement Kohen Gadol, the designation of the replacement, is mafrishin. You might say my maskinin mafrishin. Well, then the Mishnah doesn't use the same term consistently. Listening, oyivividi maskinin, oyivividi mafrishin. If maskinin means mafrishin, so the Mishnah should have used the same term regarding the official Kohen Gadol and the replacement Kohen Gadol. Yet, with regard to the official Kohen Gadol, the Mishnah says on the first line of the Mishnah Daf Beis, Mafrishin Kohen Gadol. And when it came to the replacement Kohen Gadol, it says Maskinin. So if Maskinin means Mafrishin, so the first line of Mishnah should have had maybe keep the word Mafrishin, and the second line should have had Mafrishin Lo Kohen Achir Tachtov. Or the first line could have read that Shivas Yomim Kohen Kippur Maskinin Kohen Gadol Beiso, and then Umaskinin Lo Kohen Achir. Use the same word twice if maskinin is synonymous with mafrishin, yet the Mishnah doesn't do that. So what does that show you? That the replacement Kohen Gadol doesn't have hafrosha, but if hafrosha is ma'akev, well, then something's lacking. So that's Reish Lakish's question. If you're going to learn from Miluim, then you want to be consistent. Just like by Miluim, everything that the Torah says is binding, so too with regard to Yom Kippur, everything that the Torah says is binding. We see that's not the case. So it must be that we don't learn Yom Kippur from Miluim. Amale, so Rabbi Yochanan, he doesn't answer the question per se. He turns the tables and says, Elo mar mehecho yolif lo. Well, okay, if you're finding this lack or this weakness in learning Yom Kippur from Miluim, well, so where do you learn Prisha for Yom Kippur from? Amale, mi Sinai, I learn it from what happened at Mount Sinai with Moshe Rabbeinu, who experienced Prisha before going heavenwards to receive the balance of the Torah. Just a tangential point, which will become a central point on Daf Daled. In this recent discussion, Reish Lakish had asked Rabbi Yochanan that if you're going to learn from Miluim, then just like by Miluim, everything that is said is binding. And you notice that Rabbi Yochanan didn't respond. He didn't say, well, you're wrong. by miluim, everything that's said is not binding. So the Gemara will point out later regarding that issue of miluim and kol hakosav ben makivim, there is agreement. Rabbi Yochanan concedes or agrees to Reish Lakish that with regard to miluim, everything that the Torah says is to be done is binding. And the Gemara will ask, well, how do we know that? But that's something discussed later on. In the meantime, Reish Lakish, in response to Rabbi Yochanan's question of where do you, Reish Lakish, learn Prisha from, he answers, I learn it from Sinai. Dichtiv. What we have to do now is show through the psukim that are found at the end of Parshas Mishpatim, then the Parshas Mishpatim and Sefer Shmois, there is a section dealing with Matan Torah. Interestingly, just like in Sefer, in Parshas Yisro, which features the giving of the Ten Commandments, which the central motif of that parsha, you might say, is the giving of the Torah. You find a parallel section in Parshas Mishpatim at the end of Parshas Mishpatim, which also deals with the giving of the Torah. So over there, it says, "Dichtiv Vayishkoin Kvoid Hashem Al Har Sinai Vayachasehu He'onon Sheshes Yomim Vayikra El Moshe B'Yoyim Hashvi." That you can see is Shmos Perik Chof Dalet Posuk Tes Zion. Michti. Ksiv, it says, Vayikra el Moshe b'yom hashvi, and Moshe was summoned on the seventh day. My sheshes yomim. What was the role or the purpose of those 6 days? The Pasuk had made reference just above this. You can see it says, Vayachaseu he'onon, the cloud covered Moshe for 6 days, and he was summoned on the seventh day. What was happening during those 6 days? My sheshes yomim, ze bono av. This establishes a rule. Shekol hanichnas v'machne shechina, he who enters the divine camp, ta'un prishas shisha, requires a separation period, an isolation period of 6 days. Well, the concept of entering a divine location can be extended from Matan Torah to Yom Kippur, where the Kohen Gadol enters the divine inner chambers of the Beis HaMikdash, where we call the Kodesh HaKodashim. The Gemara asks, well, one second, if you're using Har Sinai and Moshe Rabbeinu and his experience as a basis, but in his case, there was only 6 days of separation, V'anan Shivotnan, with what we learn in our Mishnah regarding Yom Kippur, a 7-day separation period is necessary. The Gemara answers that in principle 6 days is enough. However, Masnisin Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, our Mishnah conforms to Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, the Chayish, we continue at the top of Daf Dalet, Omer Aleph, Letumas Beso. Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra takes into consideration the possibility that the Kohen Gadol might have had relations with his wife, and at the time of their intimacy, she may have had a blood flow, making her a nida. And if that happened, and all of this is far. I don't want to say far fetched, but a contingency, a possibility that exists, that this may have happened. If that would have happened, so the Kohen Gadol would have been come tummy for a period of 7 days. So if he were separated for a mere 6 days, he might still be tummy. He might be still defiled from the relations that he had with his wife the day before. So what we do is we allow him to be with his wife up till 7 days before Yom Kippur. The result of that being that in the worst case scenario, if she had become a nida while experiencing intimacy, a 7-day period will lapse before Yom Kippur, enabling him to achieve purification, tahara, once again. So at this point, Reish Lakish said that the basis of Prisha is Mount Sinai. As far as the extra day is concerned, we just explained that because of the Chashash Tumas Besoi. Beso, as we mentioned earlier, is a reference in Daf Beis. We mentioned this, that it's a reference to one's wife. The Tumah as a result of intimacy with his wife. Amalei Rabbi Yochanan L'Reish Lakish. We continue at the top of Daf Dalon Amal Aleph. Rabbi Yochanan turns to Reish Lakish. Bishlama L'Didi the Alfina Mimiloim. Things work out well according to me that I learn Prisha of Yom Kippur from Iloim. Hainu Desanya, the following Brisa will make sense. It says Zeh V'Zeh regarding the Kohen Gadol of Yom Kippur and the Kohen who is going to do the Parah Aduma. Mazin Alav Kol Shiva, there would be an application, a sprinkling. Mazin has to do with sprinkling of water all 7 days. Mikol Chatoi Shoyusham, from all the Chatos. The Chatos are referenced to the Parah Aduma. The Parah Aduma, as we learned also on Daf Beis, is called a Chatos. The Pasuk makes reference to the Parah Aduma using the word Chatos. So there was in the Beis HaMikdash, there was water from all the different Parah Adumas that were processed through the generations. That's one of the pshatim that Rashi gives. It was a sample taken from each one left in the Beis HaMikdash. So these Kohanim, the Kohen Gadol of Yom Kippur, and the Kohen Gadol who was going to do the Parah, would have would be sprinkled with the Parah Aduma water from all the different poros during those 7 days of Prisha. So you have this Tanaic source making reference to a Parah Aduma sprinkling for the coin of Yom Kippur and of the Parah. Tavoi nami hazal b'miluim. In fact, by miluim, there was also hazal during the 7 days before the consecration of the Mishkan. Ela didcha, the office misina, but according to you, Reish Lakish, that learn Prisha from Mount Sinai, as you learn Prisha of Yom Kippur from Mount Sinai, Hazal b'Sinai mihavoy, was there Hazal over there? In other words, if your precedent is Sinai, so then where do you come to having Hazal for the coin of Yom Kippur? Omarle, Reish Lakish responds, Ula tamech minichon, according to you, are things so smooth? The miluim dam. By the miluim, it wasn't a sprinkling of water, of the Parah Aduma water, it was a sprinkling of blood that took place. Hachamayim, by Yom Kippur, it was the water of the Parah Aduma. So, how are you so comfortable using miluim as your basis? Rabbi Yochanan responds, Ha lo kashya. That's not a difficulty. The Tani Rabbi Chiya nichnesu mayim tachas dam. Water, in effect, is a replacement or an alternative for blood. So they're one in the same as far as the aspect of sprinkling. But according to you, Reish Lakish, hazal b'sinei me'avoy, was there any sprinkling by Mount Sinai? Was Moshe Rabbeinu sprinkled upon during his prisha? Amale, Reish Lakish answers, Mala bi'almo. And Rashi says, across from here, Mala bi'almo, the Poro, Kidamoran, Uviyom Kippurim, Lechovoy, Knisas, Machne Shechina. The issue of sprinkling isn't an integral part of those mitzvos. It was a special additional Mala. Mala often is translated as astringency or a special added feature, but not something that's an integral part. And therefore, even if it didn't exist by Sinai, but it was necessary to add sprinkling by the Parah, as we indicated earlier, that by the Parah there was a certain element of leniency, of lightness that was associated with the Parah, so as to compensate for that, we imposed additional stringencies, this being one of them, a sprinkling that took place. And as far as Yom Kippur is concerned, in honor of his entering the inner sanctum, so sprinkling was imposed, but it's not an integral mitzvah. Therefore, Reish Lakish argues, Matan Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu, and his experience of Prisha could still serve as a basis for Prisha for Yom Kippur. At this point in the Gemara, the Gemara informs us that we have Tanaic sources that support Rabbi Yochanan, who learns from Miluim, and we have a Tanaic source that supports Reish Lakish, who learns from Mount Sinai. But this discussion will take us clearly down to the end of this Omid and onto the next Omid, which is an overrun, spilling over too much beyond the confines of the Daf Yomi. So this is a place that we can stop, even though we're really in the middle of a sukkah. Before we conclude, let us just remind you that we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.